Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this hump day morning. I hope everybody is doing well today. And it is Wednesday. That means it is time for Green Side Up. And joining us from the K-State Extension offices is James Coover. Good morning, James. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on today.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you on. And before we get started into some of our main topics today, do want to talk about, there's some fairs still happening around the area.
Yes, I know. I know a lot of people are worried about the fairs and if they're going to happen because, you know, there are some fairs around the state that aren't going to happen in the same way. Some of them are going virtual. But as far as we're planning, you know, they're still happening. The one in Coffeyville, at least the 4-H side, I know that one for sure. But the interstate one in Coffeyville, however, they're still doing their livestock show, and so I mean they'll still be kids and animals and all that. They're just not going to do their grandstand event, and so that's the big events in the evening. I'm not sure those are going to happen.
Okay.
But for the most part, I mean, the fairs are going to carry on as they always have. So,
and also, just a little thing that's also coming up on June 24th at 6 p.m. will be the Montgomery and Labette County for Montgomery and Labette County residents. It's a kind of a community conversation.
Yes. There's a webinar. It'll be on June 24th at 6:30, and in the evening for Montgomery and Labette County residents. It's sort of like a webinar to just kind of discuss like health and wellness throughout those communities. And they could find more information about these community conversations on our Facebook page. There's some posts to get into it.
Okay, and again, that's coming up on June 24th, so be sure to get ready for that. So let's go ahead and get to our main conversations today, and one of the first ones that we're going to talk about is the Dicamba, or I forgot the pronunciation already. Asked you off air, but it's still close enough. Let's talk about that situation.
Yes, the Dicamba situation. And so to give a, you know, Dicamba is a herbicide that we use, and we've had it around for decades, and that's the actual chemical is dicamba, and really, I mean, it's kind of a broadleaf herbicide that we've used in grasses and pastures for a long time. However, in recent years, they developed a herbicide that's able to be treated in soybeans. Basically, we've made soybeans that are resistant to dicamba. However, only certain formulations of dicamba can be used over the top of these soybeans. And now is about the time of year when we actually use this stuff. So the issue is that the Ninth Circuit of Appeal in San Francisco issued a declaration that nullified the label for the use of these dicamba products, Xtendimax, Ugenta, and Flexapan. So basically the EPA was ordered, I mean, they were told that, you know, it was the Ninth Circuit of Appeal in San Francisco was told that the EPA 2018 labeling for these products for the 2019 and the 2020 registration of these products was no longer valid. And, I mean, it's kind of terrible timing that they did it when they did this because we're right in the middle of using dicamba in those formulations right now. And so the court kind of sat on this decision for about 15 months before finally deciding this ruling right before we were going to use this stuff. So they really didn't do anything with it until right before, I mean, they caused the most disruption possible.
Right.
And I don't know if that was intentional, but it sure would seem hard that if it wasn't intentional to do it right now.
So, right.
Well, I don't know.
Basically, the worst time to rule on it, pretty much. And then the fact that they sit on it for 15 months, that's another thing altogether. So,
yes. And, you know, the EPA, it stuck them between a rock and a hard place. Because EPA, I mean, now they had 60 million dicamba soybean acres across the Midwest. This is a lot of acres that are that came for resistant soybean. They no longer had their registration, their labeling for those products. And also on the other side, well, now they have the court order from the Ninth Circuit. And so, you know, the EPA didn't really know what to do because they were stuck with the court order, but also they couldn't, you know, they didn't want to ruin everything for the labeling for these soybeans. So kind of what they did was they said, you know, we'll make some rules for this so people can still use it, but we'll also still kind of follow the court order. So they came to a compromise, and it took a couple of weeks, and there's a lot of confusion during that time. But I think they finally got it figured out enough, and the KDA and all the other Department of Agriculture states that were affected have finally made their determination of what we want this to look like.
The good news is those registered dealers, you know, the co-ops, and they can still sell the affected products they have on hand through July 31st, correct?
Yes. The registered dealers, which pretty much means co-ops, they can sell these affected products. Everything that they had on hand on June the 8th through July 31st. And so the end user... It just means a farmer or a commercial applicator, pretty much anybody that's going to use it on their crops or being paid to use it on somebody's crops. And so everything that they had in stock on June 8th, they can still sell and use. And farmers can also get these products from the dealers as long as the dealer had the product in their store by June the 8th. And so, you know, a farmer could have this product, or the co-op could have the product. If it was existed on June the 8th, and it, you know, that it can be used. However, a registered dealer who received the affected product after June 8th, even if they ordered it, so if you ordered the product, you know, on June the 6th, and it didn't get to your establishment by June 8th, that doesn't count. And so that can't be used.
That hurts. That's for sure. Because
it's basically that was the case.
They basically have to destroy it, correct?
Well, they don't have to destroy it. They just can't apply it because there's no labeling to apply it.
Okay.
No official labeling. And so, they should probably just keep it on the shelf. Hopefully, the labeling will be passed in some fashion. But, you know, it just can't be resold, pretty much. And so that's kind of what the labeling is for application and selling. But another part of confusion was that farmers and custom applicators, they can still apply this stuff. And so they can still apply this stuff all the way up to July the 31st. That's when, you know, the EPA said, after that, we'll follow the court order strictly after that it can no longer be applied. But these herbicides, they had to have been purchased before the June 8th if they want to be applied. And so, you know, there's still some of this, there's still quite a bit of this product going around because we're just about at the season when we need to start using these products, Extendamax, Ugenta, Flexpan, and a lot of the other over-the-top soybean formulations. Because, you drive around and see the soybean fields now, and we usually spray these fields when they're fairly small. It's probably not going to affect this area as much as other areas because most of our spray season for these products happens before July 31st.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
It's kind of confusing with some of it, though, because it says, you know, they have to be purchased from stuff before the 8th or purchased from a registered dealer who received it before the 8th, but they can still apply it to their fields, though, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They can apply it to their fields. If a farmer had the stuff and if a farmer had the product before June 8th, they can apply it to their fields.
Okay.
Or if they purchased this stuff from a co-op that had purchased theirs before June 8th, they can still apply it to their fields.
And
the farmer could buy it right now from a co-op and still use that stuff.
Okay.
As long as that co-op had bought it before June 8th.
And they're allowed to use it through July 31st, correct?
Yes.
So cannot use it after, basically August 1st, is, they can't do it anymore after August. Using Dicamba, they can't do it after starting basically August 1st, correct?
Yes. They can't use these three Dicamba formulations. And, you know, for the most part, there's going to be very little of it even wanting to be applied after July 31st. Last year, our soybeans got input really late. This year, we're not doing too bad with our double crop soybeans. Most of them should go in anyway in time. So, you know, really, well, we're sitting a little bit better than what we have or could have been in. But there will be places where these products run out because, I mean, co-ops don't order 100% of the product they're going to need. I mean, some of it they're going to order in season because they don't want to overstock.
Right.
So, there's millions of gallons of this stuff that is in limbo, pretty much. And it can't be sold to the co-ops, and, you know, the farmers can't use it. And so we'll be running on short supply in some of this stuff. And, I mean, there's these dicamba-ready soybeans. Not all soybeans are dicamba-ready, but it's a pretty big percentage of the market at this point. And so a lot of our soybeans are dicamba ready. I mean, 60 million acres, that's quite a few.
Yeah, just a little bit. But there are other dicamba options still available to use on soybeans, correct?
Yes. And so there is one formulation, Tavium, that the court order didn't affect. And the reason why it didn't affect it was only because Tavium, its labeling was passed after the lawsuit began. And so it kind of missed that umbrella. And so Tavium, it is kind of in the same group as it, you know, the other three, in that it's over-the-top soybean application. Its application window is a little more tight, though. It can only be used for its trifoliate of the soybean. So the soybeans are still pretty small when, you know, you can no longer really use Tavium in the soybeans. So, you know, there is definitely a place for that, and there's going to be quite a bit, you know, probably more of that being sold as well, if it's the only one available. But once those soybeans get to a certain size, I mean, no other dicamba formulation can be used. However, that is not to say that there aren't a number of other non-dicamba options that are still available. Basically, all the old technologies that we've been using, over-the-top soybeans forever, I mean, those are still around. So
again, this, you know, the dicamba situation, the Ninth Circuit of Appeals in San Francisco issued a decision that nullified the labeling for the soybeans, dicamba herbicides, Xtendimax, Engina, and Fexapan. Due to that ruling, which, like you said, James, couldn't have come at a worse time. It means that anything that, you know, say registered dealers and co-ops, if they had that stuff on hand before June 8th, and they can sell it to end users until July 31st. So, like I said, bad time for that decision to come down, especially since they've been sitting on it for for well over a year.
Worst time to do it. One of those things just, I don't know, the court systems and all the passions, I guess you would say,
right,
in dealing with some of the agricultural world. But I don't know. For the most part, farmers, I mean, we were dealing with things before these dicamba products existed.
Right.
And so we're going to do what we can and use what we can, and we'll be all right. We'll find a way. But, you know, it is kind of bad timing, and there's a lot of money involved.
Mm-hmm.
Soybean production, just like all agricultural production, is very expensive. And so to be taking that piece away at that time is just really bad timing. If they were upset about it, you know, there is a place. Dicamba does have its damage. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it does have its issues for sure, especially with these formulations. But it probably could have been done slightly different timing.
Exactly. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and take a break. But when we come back, we will have our next topic, and it's going to have to do with double soybean planting time. And we'll get with James for that after the break. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this hump day morning. Welcome back, everybody, to the Mighty 690 KGGF. It is now time for Green Side Up, part two of Green Side Up. And joining us, of course, on the phone is James Coover. Welcome back, James. How are you doing this morning?
Doing good. I'm doing good.
All right. So before we get started on our second part of our discussion today, let's just kind of go over the first thing that we started out with on the first part of the show today, and that fairs are still happening across the area.
Yes, yes. Fairs, they're still happening. You know, we're still making contingency plans just in case. But yeah, as far as we know, the fairs, at least in the Wildcat District, are still happening. You know, and the one in Coffeyville, it's still happening as well. They're doing the livestock show. Maybe not the grandstand event, but you know, the 4-H side, the livestock show, that's still happening.
And also community conversations that are, will be on June 24th for Montgomery and LeBay County residents.
Yes. So community conversations, it's a basically a discussion. It's a webinar discussion about health and wellness within those communities, Montgomery and LeBay County residents. And so this will happen on June the 24th at 6:30 p.m., and if anyone's interested in that, there's more information on our Facebook, on our pages, Wildcat District, and in our Facebook pages.
All right, let's talk about our second topic that we had today. Earlier we were talking about dicamba. So now we're going to move on to double soybean planting time.
Yeah, so kind of in the same line, because they're both about soybeans and this time of year when we're planting them. So, you know, wheat is being harvested right now. So, I mean, the combines are out there. They're running full speed, trying to get everything in before the rain this weekend. Hopefully it rains. And soybeans will probably go in right after it. So we're looking at the double crop soybean, which is probably, I mean, here in Southeast, we do probably the most double crop soybeans in the state because our longer growing season, our wetter summer, it really makes a big difference when it comes to yield. And we're much more secure anyways with that yield coming through. And so, however, you know, with double crop soybeans, like any crop rotation, you've got to look at all the different pieces to it. And so one of the big ones is the herbicide restriction. If we use a herbicide in the wheat, some of those herbicides have a very long carryover, a residual that could affect the soybean. And so you got to be careful to make sure that what you're planting, the soybeans that you're planting, don't somehow become affected by the herbicides that you used in the wheat. There are some herbicides that are very specific, and some soybean genetics that are very specific, that you can actually line up the two. And if you do that, you need to match it up with a specific herbicide rather than the actual class of family. And so, like I mentioned before, the dicamba-resistant soybeans, well, I mean, for normal non-dicamba soybeans, there's a window there where after you sprayed dicamba, you could have used it on the wheat, you shouldn't plant soybeans because they could be affected. But these dicamba-resistant soybeans, they can do okay with using that stuff in the wheat beforehand. And so, you know, there's other types in that category as well. Some of the other things, just general agronomic pieces, is A, don't beat the ground to powder. I mean, I know a lot of farmers, they kind of maybe over-till a little bit because they like that nice, clean, pristine-looking field. And, I mean, there's a lot of weed stubble in there that they want to get covered up. But beans aren't terribly good at getting through a crusted soil. That hypocotyl, it's got to burst out of the ground. And so it pushes a lot of dirt out of the way when it does it. And beans are good size. I mean, they've got plenty of energy to do what they need to do. They can wiggle around in the aggregates and get their way to the sunlight, but they don't do well with crusted soil. So you know, don't beat the ground up and then have it rain on it and then crust it. So,
and then also one of the best ways to help grow with to double soybean the planting time is proper soil nutrients.
Yes, and so of course with any crop you got to get all your nutrients balanced. I mean, soybeans are rather pH sensitive, so make sure that your pH is doing okay. I mean, around here, usually my suggestion is somewhere above 6.1 is kind of the limit. When it starts to get around to 6.2, 6.1, below that, that's when it starts to get a little iffy. Maybe you could see some issues in soybean. Of course, optimum levels of phosphorus, potassium, you know, that's very common. Pretty much every crop is pretty close to the same. However, one thing that might not be thought of is nitrogen. And so, I mean, of course, soybeans, with their rhizobia, they make their own nitrogen. But there actually could be a place for a little bit of nitrogen application in double crop soybean. And usually that's when there's a whole lot of wheat stubble that was tilled in. Maybe there's a whole lot of nitrogen being tied up. There's not very much of it in the soil. Well, soybeans need a little bit of nitrogen to get started. And so, you know, it doesn't take all that much, 20 pounds of the acre around about, at least just to get them started. But you don't want to do too much, because if you do, it will affect the rhizobia-soybean interaction. They won't nodulate correctly, and it will become an issue later on. So, but just a little bit is a good thing.
And a good thing also to do is, narrow row spacing to kind of cover the canopy quicker.
Yes, yes. And so, anymore, the most soybeans are planted in narrow rows, I mean, in either the long season or short season. But when it comes to double cropping, narrow rows seem to have some research behind it that they do better. That's only because they basically capture the sunlight more quickly. They cover the ground more quickly. They're able to suppress weeds better. And so narrow row spacing do have some yield and weed advantage. And those are often not pretty slight, but at the same time, you know, you might as well just plant them at the narrow row if you can, if your planter allows you to do that. Generally, you want to increase the seeding rate on double crop soybeans, but there is a tendency to overdo this. And so, you know, generally you want to increase the seeding rate, but it depends on the current seeding rate that you are at right now. Because soybeans, they're not going to branch as much when it gets hot like this. And so, unlike corn, where in poor yielding areas, we actually want to use the smaller seeding rate, with soybeans, it's the other way around. With soybeans, if you have a poorer yielding area, you actually want to bump the population up a little bit. Because in good yielding areas, they're able to compensate and branch out much more. You know, and also to make sure that you plant based upon seed acres rather than a pounds per acre, because, I mean, soybean size, it differs a lot between varieties. And so you could be majorly overplanting a small seed variety. And in rates around here, they're around 100 to 140,000 seeds per acre. And so, you know, make sure that you're doing your seed per acre. You calculate it by through the weight. And then you can use the pounds per acre once you know how many seeds you're actually planting per acre.
Go ahead.
Another, to carry on with the seed, you want to make sure that you're using good quality seed. June is a very stressful time when it comes to planting anything, really, but soybeans especially so. And so, I mean, soybeans, they have a hard time germinating when the soil is really hot or it's really dry. They need a very good vigor if they're going to get through it. The germination rate might be fine, but the germination rate, I mean, that means they're all kind of at the same level. That doesn't mean that they're going to work good through a hard condition, even if the germination rate is doing well. So you need to make sure that you're using a good quality soybean. It hadn't been in the bin too long and sitting in a hot, wet environment and their vigor has just completely dropped off. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a poor stand. It's going to set you behind. And, yeah, there's a lot of issues with using poor quality soybeans, especially this time during the year.
Absolutely. And so I do have a question. What is the best depth to plant these seeds?
And so soybeans, this time of year, you kind of want to plant them as deep as possible, but not so deep that the hypocotyl and the collodion can't get through the soil. So, you know, your seeding depth needs to be around an inch and a half. And most farmers will plant an inch and a half. I mean, this is pretty common. Soybeans, they can still emerge, even if you plant them 2 inches deep, but the germination will be slower. And you're making the hypocotyl work harder, and it's got to break through the crust at some point, too. And so over that path of 2 inches, and then it gets to a crust that it can't break through because it doesn't have enough energy. So, you know, just make sure that you don't plant them too deep. There's not a whole lot of soil moisture in the ground right now, so I don't know that you can really plant your soybeans against soil moisture. You kind of just have to wait for the rain, which is coming up, hopefully, and let those soybeans germinate from that point. So, you know, there's a good timing when it comes to planting these soybeans to match it up with the rain, because it's more important to plant soybeans with a good germination than it is to do timing-wise. I mean, even if you planted soybeans a couple of weeks ago, they might be germinated, or maybe you didn't have a very good stand because it never rained when we thought it would. Well, sometimes maybe it would have been better actually to wait before the rain. We didn't know that it wasn't going to, but it's just hard to determine, but a good germination rate is more important than a specific timing of planting. The last piece when it comes to the seeds is planting the right variety, or at least planting the right length of variety. And so basically the day length. Around here, we tend to plant 4s, almost 5s, actually when it comes to day length. But you need to make sure to not shorten that day length. Don't plant 3s this time of year. Otherwise, you're going to end up with these short little stubby plants that, you know, they'll bloom and make seed, but they're not going to make very much. And so you need to maintain or slightly increase the length, the day length variety of long season soybeans this time of year. And most farmers, they're just going to plant what they have, which are mostly the long season. So that's not so much of an issue. Most farmers know, but if you try to shorten it, let's say you're going to do some sort of double cropping, some sort of wheat or rye after the soybeans, so you're trying to shorten that length, well, you're going to end up with a tiny little plant and not very much yield. So,
and speaking of rain, I know it's been a while since we got any substantive rain around here, so I know that kind of hurts a little bit, but it looks like maybe coming up this weekend and into next week, we'll get some rain, and that's going to help out a lot, is it not?
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to the rain. It needs to get here. I mean, you know, the wheat harvest is going on, and hopefully we'll get most of that done. But, I mean, you can see the cornfields. They got the little pineapple leaves, and they're thirsty. So, and the same thing, there's a lot of little baby soybean plants out there. They everything needs some water right now.
The ground needs a nice drink. That's what it needs right now. And it looks like again, starting I think this weekend and into next week, we have like 5, maybe 6 good shots of rain, which is definitely we don't want to overdo it, obviously. But the soil definitely needs some water, because it's been a good while since we've had a good rain around here. That's for sure.
The forecast looks like it's going to be perfect for soybean germination. You know, hot, steamy, muggy, wet days, the soybeans just love that when they're little. So, I mean, it could be perfect if we get those double crop soybeans in soon. So let's hope anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, we're going to have temperatures in the 90s, and like you said, with some rain, that's the perfect environment for those soybeans to really get going, is it not?
Yeah. Yes, it's a good start if they can get it.
So. Absolutely. So hopefully we can get that rain in next week. Well, James, lots of great information that you've given us today. If anybody has any other questions they would like to ask you, how can they get a hold of you?
They can give me a call. My cell phone number is 620-778-1037 because I'm always on the road doing something. But my office number is 620-724-8233. And so either of those numbers and get a hold of me.
All right, James. Well, thank you so much for calling in today and talking about all the great things that you're doing out there with the dicamba and also the double soybean planting. So lots of great stuff going on out there. And we hope to see you, I think, next time that you're scheduled to be on. You may actually be in studio. So,
yeah.
Because it's,
yeah,
I think, after July 4th, right?
I'm hoping next time I'll be there in person. So.
Yeah, because I think it's after July 4th when you guys are actually able to finally kind of go out on site and actually come into the studio, correct?
Yep. I'm hoping so. I believe so, yeah.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you next time, James, and you have a great day and you be safe out there.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right, James Coover with the K-State Extension Office, K-State Wildcat Extension Office, coming in and calling in. And we look forward to seeing him when he does come in next time, because after July 4th is when the K-State Extension agents will be allowed to come back into studio. We look forward to that. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to start open line. We'll take your calls if you have anything you want to buy, sell, trade, or give away, or if you'd like to answer today's Nichols Hitching Post poll question of the day. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF on this hump day.